The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Timothy. Happy you all to be here today. I just got back from my trip yesterday. I think I told you all. You're right. And it was good. It was really good, really nice, really refreshing. Happy to be back with you all. And today, the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, still going through the season of green, right? Where we're growing in God's Word. God's Word grows in the church. That's kind of the season of Pentecost. That's the whole thing that's going on. It's the season of the church where the Word grows in us, and as the Word grows in us, it grows into the world, right? We're the branches. We're, you know, that helps and serves and loves and does what needs to be done for our neighbor. So today we are celebrating the Lord's Supper. And just to keep in mind that we're doing the altar here. We're coming up here and we're going to have some spacing. Be sure to know that, you know, family, your same household, please, you can be close together, but we're going to also space out from there. So that makes sense. We'll go from there. I don't think I have anything else beforehand. But let's begin by singing our hymn on the first page of our bulletin. And as we're able, please sing. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may fly to your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word and by Christ's authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for our readings. Our reading for the psalm today comes from Psalm 14, and we speak responsibly, whole verse by whole verse. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good.
The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of man to see if there are any who understand. He seeks after God.
They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one.
And then they have knowledge, all the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord.
There they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous.
You would shame the plans of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge.
Oh, that the salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. The Lord restores the fortunes of his people. Let Jacob rejoice. Let Israel be glad. We sing.
The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is from Isaiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 19. The vision of all this has come to you like the words of a book that is sealed. When men give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And when they give it to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot read." And the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder. And the wisdom of the wise shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, who sees us? Who knows us? You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay that the thing made should say of its maker, he did not make me? Or this thing, or the thing formed, say of him who formed it, he has no understanding? Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field will be regarded as a forest? In that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and out of the gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall result in the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from Ephesians 22, verses 22 through 33. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives should also submit to everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his holy body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. They saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots, copper vessels, and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing our hymn, "What Wondrous Love Is This." Please be seated.
Oh, Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our texts for this Sunday are a little difficult for us, I think. They kind of deal with touchy issues, and I was hoping it would be a more sunnier day when we go through them. But it is a little gloomier, but that's okay. But our focus for today is from Mark 7. I wanted to look at Mark 7 for us because I think it's appropriate for what we're dealing with always in our own life. But the thing with Mark chapter 7 that is a little bit frustrating is because there's no message of promise from Jesus here. The text from verses 1 through 13 in Mark chapter 7 does not give us any words of promise or the gospel message in these passages. There's no way to get around it. But this text is not necessarily addressed to baptized Christians, not addressed to even Jesus' disciples. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and scribes, to the people that aren't even following Jesus. And so it's a rebuke addressed to them, which makes it difficult for how it addresses us. But I think we can learn from what Jesus has to say to the Pharisees and to the scribes in our own temptations and our own faults that we tend to gravitate towards. Especially when we want to think about the scriptures, God's word on our life, God's word as it takes a hold of us and then manifests itself into our vocations. How that word can be muddied by traditions, by things we grasp onto that we have taken for granted. Things that are good, maybe, on the surface, but we find that in reality they have hurt our Christian life, our church's life, and how that turns out in our relationships with others. And so that's where we're going to go with Mark 7 today, is that sometimes we're tempted to say less than what the scriptures say by ignoring or rejecting what's maybe just clearly written in front of us. And at other times we're tempted to say more than what God's word has to say by insisting upon our own ideas and our own additions. And in this case, when we look at the Pharisees and the scribes, they're doing a little bit of both. And we too find ourselves trapped and maybe doing a little bit of both, holding to such traditions or downplaying such commands that God has given to us. And so in the story, we see the Pharisees, and maybe it was difficult to follow along because we have the Pharisees approaching them about the disciples who are eating with defiled hands, unwashed hands, and maybe quickly, we can go right to us as parents who think about our kids who need to wash their hands before they eat and maybe have a sense of this, but this is more of the ceremonial cleaning. And as we see in that parenthetical long statement, there are many of these traditions that the Jewish people, the disciples, and all these are Jewish people and the Pharisees and the disciples who are also Jews had to follow as far as their eating and the marketplaces and how they conduct themselves in society among the Jewish community. So the Pharisees were criticizing the position the disciples were in at this point and what they were doing. Why do the disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders? Why don't they walk in the way that they were given, the traditions that were passed down to them, the teachings that were passed down to them? And you can kind of see why that connection later when Jesus brings up the honor your father and mother, why those things actually fit together. Jesus isn't just bringing up the commandment, why honor your father and mother for no reason. It's because it's what the Pharisees originally were putting forth. That according to the tradition of the elders, to honor your father and mother, the faith passed down, this is what they ought to do. But Jesus, right in the middle of that, in the middle of the conversation of, or centered around this fourth commandment, I suppose, honor your father and mother, he references Isaiah, our text from today. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. Now think about your own way of how people honor with lips, but their heart is still far from who Jesus is. And maybe we don't have to take it so theologically and so religiously, but just think about the ways in which our words, what we say, does not truly match how we live. The promises we might make that doesn't actually show in reality. Think of those things, and then think of how that might apply to what Jesus is saying here. That the Pharisees and the scribes, the people he's addressing and talking to, that they honor God and his word with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship, they show up, they do the rituals, they follow the rules, they check their boxes, but they still only follow and hold to the teachings and doctrines and commandments of men. Think for a moment what that means. Because the teachings, doctrines, and commandments of men are those things, those traditions, those rituals, those rules that we might hold more dearly than God's word on us. It could be something like, it's the way we've always done it. You can't change this sort of thing. You can't do this thing because it's the way we've always done it. It doesn't have to just be in church. It could just be in your own families and your lives or other people. Just think about the way the world has taught us to raise our children or have a successful life. It seems that the way to do it is to have both parents, both families working hard, and then having your children be taken care of at the daycare or move into the preschool and then into the school and have them be raised in such a fashion so that you and your family can be successful also and have your vacation home or your vacation time and use your summers to actually use that money that you've collected because both of you are working and that's why you're doing it, so you can fulfill and give quality time to your children. Because quality matters more than quantity. But to suggest that even spending more time with your kids, or a father decides to work from home or raise kids from home, is seen as a bizarre thing to do. It's like, why would you do that? And for the mother or for the father, be the only one that brings in the single income, why would you give up all that money just so you could be at home? Even when your kids are at school all day. Sometimes if you live that way and you focus on other things that matter and you devote the time to it, rather than trying to force some quality time, you find that the quantity of time spent is actually more important. That's just one example of perhaps traditions in the world, traditions of men, the way our culture kind of forces us to see things, to engage in things, to find a way of living that's, to them, is most successful. But what the Pharisees and what Jesus is talking about here is that the Pharisees and the scribes have taken what God has given them, and they have built traditions around these things and rules, perhaps at the beginning to be helpful for the sake of the faith that they were a part of, but it came to a point over years of passing down that they've completely missed the point of what God's word had in mind, what God had spoken. You see, what Jesus is doing is he's not being a rebel. He's not rebelling against the Pharisees and the scribes because of their religiosity or their teachings of being God's chosen instruments. What Jesus is doing is he actually is fighting against the ones who are rebelling against him. The Pharisees and the scribes have held to their traditions of men, to their commandments of men, more than to what God had given and commanded. They're grasping on to things they've taken for granted. They're grasping on to what they're used to, grasping on to what's comfortable, grasping on to control of the situation. That's what Jesus says at the end. If you look at verse 11, or that passage where verses 9 through 11, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God. And he goes into the honor of your father and your mother. But if you say a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban. Use that word korban. That is given to God, but for the Pharisees and for the scribes, it's grasping on to the traditions of men, grasping on to, how else to put it? Grasping on to my control of things, that I understand things and how they work, that I have a connection to God because of who I am as a Pharisee or whatever that means for them, but also for us, maybe as we think of our own temptation to grasp on and understand God to a point that I know what I'm doing, don't worry about me. And also view our traditions and commandments that we've committed to ourselves by passing down as being the one and only way and the proper way to hear God's word, to live under his care, to live out his life he's given to us. But Jesus is making that change. And this is the part where the text kind of doesn't give us the promises that Christians are called to hear. Because Jesus is trying to correct and guide these Pharisees to what the true word that God has given and what that means. But for us, who live today, we grasp on to something else. We grasp on to Jesus' promises, the ones he gives to us, the ones where he says, your sins are forgiven, that you're mine. You belong to me and no one else. And you listen to him. Jesus is the Word of God who became flesh. Now we have our own traditions and things we do that are very helpful. But it's when they start becoming the thing we grasp onto that they lose their helpfulness. Because we do these things only to help in growing our faith and to following Jesus and obeying and listening to everything he's given to us. But when we start taking for granted and holding on to the traditions and commands that we have made and developed as men, then we completely miss what God has called us to be someone else, to repent, to change, to follow him and do things as he says. And that means it's going to look very different from what the rest of the world has placed on us, what they expect. It means to listen to Jesus and follow his promises and his commands. that you're not too concerned about yourself, but your orientation is now focused in looking outwards. Because who you are is received from outside of yourself by the promises of Jesus, and then who you are now in the world is also outside yourself. It's defined by the relationships you have with your neighbor, with the creation, with everyone around you, and now you follow Jesus where he leads you to those places in life, to the one nearest to you, to who God commands you to be a part of and take care of. Jesus Christ is the promised Savior for you, and that's the given that we need to hear again and again. That he has come and called you and claimed you, made you his own, forgives you. And now he's calling you to follow him, to listen to him, to be guided by him. Mark 7 is not the easiest text for us to get around, because Jesus here is putting on some hard rebukes for the Pharisees and the scribes. And they can be hard for us to receive and hear, because we know the temptations for ourselves to grab onto traditions, to hold to rules that we've made up as if they were from God himself. But Jesus reminds you that who you are is not defined by what you do, the traditions you keep, the commandments you've made up that have become helpful even, but who you are is defined by him. Jesus told the Pharisees from Isaiah, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Your heart is not far from Jesus, because Jesus has come to you and he has changed your heart. He's made it into something new. He's doing that again today. And as you receive the Lord's Supper, the body and blood of Jesus, not only is your heart changed, but you actually are receiving in you Christ's life. It's who you are. And now you're free, and sometimes you're burdened, to go and live and love the people closest to you, the ones God has called you to take care of and be a part of. Do it with joy. Do it in love. Above all, do it with faith that Jesus has got a hold of you, and he's grasped onto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Upon hearing the word of God, we continue on page 8 of our worship folder by confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. As you're able, please stand.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered in Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing our hymn, Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness. Please be seated.
Jesus, Lamb of God, and Christ.
Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Please stand. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are known, grant us a true faith that we would honor you not only with our lips, but serve you faithfully with all of our heart, mind, and strength. Give joy and hope to all your children in remembrance of their baptism, that they may rejoice in the forgiveness of sins that Jesus Christ freely pours out in this saving flood. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, preserve us from rejecting your commandments for the teachings of them. By your Spirit's aid, lead all Christians to keep your will in thought, word, and deed, honoring you in all that we do. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Preserve, O Lord, your estate of marriage. Grant that wives would be entrusted to their husbands, just as Jesus Christ submits to his Father, and husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Almighty God, hear our prayers for our nation and its leaders, for all civil servants, for our military, and for those whose work imperils them for the sake of their neighbor. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Lord of life, encourage with your word and grace all who suffer physically, emotionally, and spiritually on account of illness, especially Wayne, Pastor Flath, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Mel, Thurston, Debbie, Bella, Ava, Esther, and Samantha. Bless all medical professionals with the skills necessary to give relief and care to their pain where possible. Strengthen the faith and sustain to life everlasting all who partake in this fellowship but cannot be with us, especially Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thurza, and Jim. May the fellowship of this altar and the reception of Jesus Christ's body and blood hold us together. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Blessed Lord, guide and lead those facing difficult decisions to be comforted by your promises, that they may be faithful citizens and affirm your will for the creation. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way also he took the cup after supper, and after he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension to heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Please be seated. Welcome to the Lord's table. Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you, your body and soul, to life everlasting. Depart in his peace.
Please stand as we sing, "Thank the Lord." We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We sing our closing hymn, "We'll Bless the House." Please be seated.
Thank you.
I invite you to take up the announcements, your worship.